Tonight, a hard pass on a public inquiry into foreign interference, the decision and the divide.
The intelligence I have reviewed is and must remain secret.
David Johnston's report that runs against opposition demands.
He is a family friend, cottage neighbor, and ski buddy of the Prime Minister.
Reaction and the road ahead. How DNA testing solved a cold case.
It was always on my mind, who killed Sharon? Who killed her?
Answers for a grieving family in a decades-old murder. Plus, making history in the Himalayas. The Sherpa who defied dangerous odds and shattered a record on Mount Everest.
CTV National News with Omar Sachedina, reporting tonight from Ottawa.
Good evening, everyone, and great to be back with you again. Foreign interference is an evolving danger, but the intelligence is too sensitive to be heard out in the open. That's the finding of former Governor General David Johnston, who today rejected a public inquiry.
It would have been an easy choice. It would not be the correct one.
His report found serious shortcomings between the government and security agencies, but no examples of ministers, the Prime Minister, or their offices failing to act. Our coverage begins with CTV's Ottawa Bureau Chief Joyce Napier.
After weeks of conducting interviews and consulting classified information, David Johnston concluded the threat of election interference is real, but a public inquiry is not the answer.
A separate public inquiry will simply not deliver the level of transparency and urgency Canadians expect. The intelligence I have reviewed is and must remain secret.
Johnston recommended instead he lead less formal public hearings, including testimony from diaspora communities, academics, politicians, and members of the intelligence community. The Prime Minister, who appointed Johnston to investigate foreign interference, said he will follow his recommendation while calling on all party leaders to work together on the issue.
Letters have been sent to opposition leaders offering security clearances so that they may receive the relevant intelligence.
But already the Conservative leader said he will turn down the offer.
We're not going to allow the government to silence leaders of the opposition by swearing them to secrecy on this matter of grave public importance. Their problem has been too much secrecy, not too little.
The NDP leader said a public inquiry is the only way to shed light on foreign interference.
And I'll make it clear to the Prime Minister that we're going to use all the tools that we have at our disposal to continue to push for one at the federal level.
Johnston did find issue on how information from security agencies was communicated or not communicated to government, but the government, he said, did not act improperly by knowingly failing to act on intelligence reports. And he had these words of caution to media that relied on leaked documents.
Several leaked materials that raised legitimate questions turned out to have been misconstrued in some media reporting.
Johnston says he will hold public hearings through the summer and into the fall. He will produce his final report by October, Omar. That's when his mandate is up.
All right, Joyce, thanks. And David Johnston says that steady stream of leaks to the media contained information that was wrong or lacked context, while others say it's his examination that hasn't gone far enough. CTV's Judy Trin with the reaction tonight.
9 pages of the report focused on clarifying leaked intelligence the special rapporteur said was taken out of context.
The person leaking the information thought they were. They didn't know the whole story. They only knew part of it, which suggests that whoever was leaking is probably at a fairly low level.
The first bombshell allegation involved the 2019 election. Global News reported that China used proxies to funnel $250,000 to 11 candidates. Johnston found no intelligence suggesting any federal candidates received these funds. Later, Global News named Han Dong as one of the beneficiaries, and most damning of all, alleged he advised a Chinese diplomat to prolong the detention of the two Michaels.
The truth will protect us. Our honor and our family will get through this together.
The report by Mr. Johnston was fairly unequivocal that there were false allegations made against Mr. Dong.
Today, Dong said, "I feel vindicated by Mr. Johnston's report." Leaks about the 2021 election also set off alarm bells. The Globe and Mail reported there was an orchestrated machine to ensure a liberal minority government. Johnston found Beijing does not favor parties, but helps any candidate that's pro-China. The Chinese did collect information on conservative Michael Chong, who criticized Beijing, but Johnston said there was no intelligence he and his family were being threatened. The report also falls short for Kenny Chu, who lost his BC riding after he was smeared as a racist, but the attacks couldn't be connected to China.
We need the political accountability. We need, in terms of governance, how deep and how wide the infiltration and interference has been.
Johnston's report had some experts questioning the quality of intelligence being gathered.
You can't connect intelligence to evidence unless you have strong intelligence. And maybe we'll learn more about just how strong the Canadian system is in generating intelligence about foreign interference threats or whether that needs to be improved.
Although the intelligence leak put foreign interference in the spotlight, Johnston said they have been destructive and that all efforts should be put into finding the leakers who may be acting out of malice. Omar.
All right, Judy, thank you. Well, just after he released his report, I sat down with the Right Honorable David Johnston, and I began our conversation by asking him about that decision to hold public hearings instead of a full-fledged inquiry.
The reason we can't have a public inquiry dealing with the question of who knew what, when, and what did they do with it is because to get at that whodunit, you have to deal with classified information. Some of the sources we have whose lives would be at stake if this becomes an open matter that can trace our relationship with our Five Eye allies and others, we share information, that disappears. So much as we would like to have a public inquiry into this question of who knew what, so it can't be done in using classified information. And therefore, you can't put it out on the public.
Does it not embolden people who clearly want to say something, the leakers within the intelligence community, does it not embolden them to come out with even more information, which you admitted today is piecemeal, it lacks context?
Well, one cannot encourage and countenance leakers. What I think people who feel that they have a real sense of grievance about our system is become private citizens and come and provide some testimony to us at our public hearings on what you think is wrong or do a submission to us, and we'd be very glad to look at it. But you can't reform, I think, by encouraging people to break the law and then carry out their particular concern or protest.
Journalists, though, get, information that is redacted from time to time.
Sure.
That they will then report on.
Yes.
Is there absolutely, unequivocally, no scenario where there could be a public inquiry, where even some of the most sensitive information you talked about today is redacted to a certain extent, thereby achieving the goal of some transparency for the public?
Well, I think the notion of redaction is possible, but then do you have enough in what's left to be able to come to an intelligent assessment?
Page 27 and 28, you outline how CISA sent a note to then Public Safety Minister Bill Blair and
yes.
his Chief of Staff that China intended to target MP Michael Chong, but that neither the minister nor his chief of staff received that message because they did not have access to a top secret network to access that email. The public safety minister did not have access to this top secret network. If intelligence officials can't even communicate that information, that basic level of information to elected officials, does it make our Five Eyes partners lose faith in Canadian intelligence?
That was a mistake. That was a problem in our machinery of government. There must be a communication with those particular facts in moving into this secret territory with elected members of parliament. So that protocol is now in place, but that's making policy on the fly. That's the kind of thing that should be done in a very considered way. And with respect to that issue, yes, our allies look at that and say, that's not acceptable that your machinery of government is not providing a tracking of how that information goes up and what happens to it.
There has been a lot of attention placed on, your critics saying that you're too close to the Prime Minister.
I never had a meeting with him. I was never in his home. He wasn't in my home. We never exchanged a telephone call, an email, letters. The only occasion I recall meeting him was when my wife and I attended the funeral of his father. So there was no friendship. There was no connection. I simply say to that is that as a professor of law, I've chaired or served on somewhere between 2 and 3 dozen advisory committees to government, including recommended by a conservative prime minister to be governor general for 5 years and then extended by that government for another 2 years. At no time in any of those occasions was my integrity or my impartiality questioned. Why would it happen all of a sudden now with this particular mandate? And this kind of invective is what weakens our trust in our public institution, and it's precisely what our enemies want to see, to put our democratic institutions into disarray.
Mr. Johnston, thank you.
Great to be with you, Omar, as always. Thank you.
And we've posted the full conversation with David Johnston on our website, ctvnews.ca. In the Alberta firefight, a grim milestone today. More than 1 million hectares of scorched land. But the last 24 hours brought a bit of relief.
Today, we've seen a continuation of the showers that started in the province yesterday and the lower fire behavior that resulted from that.
Of the 71 wildfires in the province, 20 are still burning out of control.
Hello, how are you?
And on the first day of advance polling, the two frontrunners in the race to become Alberta's premier, UCP leader Danielle Smith and the NDP's Rachel Notley, marked their ballots in Calgary. Monday, of course, is election day. In Quebec today, 48 years after a 16-year-old girl was raped and murdered, police have identified her killer. Quebec Bureau Chief Geneviève Beauchemin now on the cold case solved by science.
Yeah.
I receive a phone call.
For nearly half a century, the fight of Yvonne Pryor's life was to discover who raped and killed her 16-year-old daughter, Sharon, in March of 1975. Now investigators have finally solved the case.
The profile from the bones is a full match with the one from the crime scene that belongs to the murderer. So it's him.
This bilingual documentary by news program Nouveau Info tracked how police in Longueuil, just outside Montreal, closed this cold case, one of the most notorious in Quebec history. Sharon, a loving, popular, and smart teen, was walking to a pizza restaurant a few blocks from her home when she came across a stranger, her killer. Franklin Mayhood Romine was an American, then 28 years old, living in Montreal. A violent man with a long list of criminal convictions, not identified among the more than 120 suspects police investigated.
He was always playing hide-and-seek with law enforcement. He was going back and forth to the U.S.
That, until new advances in forensic biology and genetic genealogy, led investigators to rebuild his family tree. Their findings prompted them to exhume Romine's body. He died in 1982. And final DNA tests confirmed he was the one who took Sharon away from her family.
You may never have come back to our house on Congregation Street that weekend, but you have never left our hearts.
Investigators here are already applying what they call Sharon's technique to other cold cases, and they're hopeful they'll be able to close at least one of those before the end of the year and others in the future. And while nothing in the world could erase the grief of losing a daughter, answers have provided some comfort.
It was always on my mind, who killed Sharon?
And investigators say Sharon may now finally rest in peace. Geneviève Beauchemin, CTV News, Longueuil, Quebec.
And in the international cold case of Madeleine McCann, investigators are focusing their renewed search on a remote reservoir in southern Portugal, about 50 kilometers from where the 3-year-old British girl vanished in 2007 while on vacation with her family. German authorities believe 45-year-old Christian Bruckner, a suspect in the case, was in the area at the time of her disappearance. A teenager seen driving with a Nazi flag and accused of crashing into the White House security barriers was officially charged today. As Washington Bureau Chief Joy Malbin explains, he was reportedly on a mission of mayhem.
Sweeping up after a security scare just steps from the White House. Last night, with the U.S. President Joe Biden in residence, the driver of this U-Haul rental truck rammed into the security barriers over and over again. court documents show he wanted to overthrow the government and kill the president, plotting the alleged attack for 6 months.
That's a pretty violent act all by itself. Clearly, this individual intended some kind of harm.
Police found a backpack, duct tape, the suspect pulling out a Nazi flag, telling police he admired Hitler. No weapons or explosives were found in the truck, but guests were briefly evacuated from the nearby historic Hay Adams Hotel.
I turned around and just saw the U-Haul.
Canadian Benjamin Berger was in Lafayette Square and saw it all.
I heard a crash behind me. Then the vehicle backed up and slammed into it again. So at that point, I started to run away as well. I wasn't sure if maybe someone had a weapon and then if bullets might be going in a certain direction.
19-year-old Sai Varshith Kandula of Missouri, who graduated from high school just last year, was charged with assault with a dangerous weapon, reckless driving, and threatening to kill, kidnap, or inflict harm on a president, vice president, or family member. And while the fencing has gotten higher, there have been jumpers and a string of threats against presidents and politicians recently.
The president was indeed briefed. He was briefed this morning on what's known by Secret Service and the Park Police. Thus far, he's relieved that no one was injured last night.
Joy Malvin, CTV News, Washington.
Time for a short break, but when we come back...
This one thing is not going to change and make it all hunky-dory.
A new effort to ease the chaos at Canadian airports. Plus, Prince Harry loses a bid to pay for police protection in the UK. After a post-mortem on the logjam at Canadian airports, changes were revealed today to the pre-check of trusted travelers. Here's CTV's Adrian Gobriel.
If you braved a Canadian airport last summer, you're likely all too familiar with this scene.
Last year it was crazy. The lines were insane.
In an effort to cool the jets on excruciating lineups, the federal government is rolling out a revamped Trusted Traveler program.
This is the biggest shift in the pre-board screening process for air travelers since 9/11.
Starting in June, Nexus and Global Entry members will be granted added ease through security with liquids in their carry-on. Verified travelers will also be able to keep their shoes, belts, and jacket on, and gone are the days of having to pull your laptop out of your bag. While touted as a transformative step for Transport Canada, some passengers in the U.S. have benefited from the same security clearance for the last decade.
TSA PreCheck guarantees effectively travelers are screened in less than a minute. Canada has been nowhere near that.
If you don't have a Nexus card, you still stand to gain from the program.
It will also increase the efficiency for other travelers when you have this streamlining process.
The federal government also hopes the program will encourage Canadians to apply for Nexus, though that too requires a penchant for patience.
Well, I applied in October of 2021, and I just got my appointment.
For now, the program will only be offered at 6 Canadian airports. Ottawa, Quebec City, and Atlantic Canada have all been left off the list. Some travel-weary passengers remain pessimistic.
This one thing is not going to change and make it all hunky-dory, no.
This isn't the only new measure being taken to reduce wait times and to pay for the improvements. Starting next year, the security charge, which you pay for each time you buy a plane ticket, will increase by about 30%, a move that was approved in the last federal budget. Omar.
Added cost for travelers. Okay, Adrian, thank you. An update now on a story we told you about last night about the racial abuse directed at Brazilian soccer star Vinicius Jr. of Real Madrid, who was taunted during a game on Sunday. Spanish police arrested 7 people today. Still ahead tonight, fast cars, cowboys, and a cattle chase causing quite the ruckus. Prince Harry today lost his legal bid to pay for his own protection when in the UK. His taxpayer-funded security detail was among the first perks to go when he stepped down as a working royal in 2020. Harry offered to cover the costs himself, but was denied by a judge who agreed with concerns it could strain resources and set an unfair precedent of the rich buying police protection. And more trouble for Boris Johnson. The former British Prime Minister has been referred to police after ministerial diaries revealed secret visits by family and friends during the lockdown to Chequers. The country mansion made available to prime ministers. And police in Michigan had to call in a cowboy for help. A runaway cow was on the move along a highway, pun intended, by the way. The man on horseback eventually lassoed the livestock on the lamb. Talk about horsepower. And after the break, peak performance, a treacherous climb into the record books at Mount Everest. The first double above-the-knee amputee to scale the world's highest peak pledged today to dedicate his life to helping people with disabilities. Hari Buddha Mugger returned from Everest to a hero's welcome, the former Gurkha soldier who lost both legs in Afghanistan. That climb is a dangerous challenge that one record-breaking Sherpa knows all too well. CTV's Vanessa Lee reports.
Congratulations, Dai, for 28 times.
Nepali Sherpa guide Kami Rita is said to be healthy and in good shape as he makes his way down Mount Everest.
2023.
He conquered the 29,032-foot summit this morning for the 28th time, beating his own record just 6 days after setting it. Writing, "This journey taught me invaluable lessons about resilience, determination, and the power of human spirit. It reminded me that anything is possible when you surround yourself with the right people and believe in yourself wholeheartedly." Kami Rita has been racing another Sherpa up the planet's tallest peak to claim the title of the most Everest summits. A dangerous journey that comes with many risks, including altitude sickness, oxygen deprivation, falling, and getting caught in an avalanche. The mountain has become so crowded in recent years, climbers have died in traffic jams. At least 10 people have lost their lives so far this season.
Well, I'm hearing right now there's quite a storm on the mountain, lots of wind blowing around, so it kicks up a lot of snow, so you can't see where you're going. And I guess there's a lot of people lost right now and missing.
BC's Tim Ripple has been to Everest 13 times. Summiting once back in 2008.
It was actually pretty cool because you can actually look off on the horizon. You can see the curvature of the Earth.
A record 480 climbers from around the world are hoping to overcome the elements to take in that breathtaking view this year with the expertise of Sherpas like Kami Rita. What started out as a necessity to make a living has turned into a passion that has put him on top of the world. Vanessa Lee, CTV News, Montreal.
Just some stunning and mesmerizing views. And that's a snapshot of this Tuesday from Ottawa. For all of us at CTV National News, thank you for watching. Good night, and see you tomorrow.